Yeah, well, it's a thing anyhow. So, and Lord, we're so glad. I'm so glad to be gathered here with your people here today. Lord, your blessings are abounding, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life that you bring to us. Through your word, Lord, you increase our faith when we hear and receive. And we look for that today, Lord. Lord, I pray for your grace to abound in our lives this morning. And just open up your word to us. Bless my lips and speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Who can tell me what these pictures have in common?
Practice.
You got it. Thank you, Vilma. Did you get it also? I didn't hear what you said over there, but...
Not quite.
There's people in every one of them.
And there are people that are practicing. In every one of them. So today I'm going to talk about practicing righteousness versus practicing sin. Notice the picture there behind it. There's a target and the arrow hit the bullseye. So sin is missing the mark. We want to hit the mark. And so we're going to talk about practicing righteousness as opposed to practicing sin this morning. So let's stand up and I'll read through our passage here, which is 1 John 3, 4 through 12. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared, I do have it up there, know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, yes, he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this it's evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. You can sit down. When we're reading the Bible, especially in the letters, the epistles, it helps to know the purpose that these letters are written for. And so I just want to do a quick review of the purpose that John gives us. He actually makes three purpose statements, one at the end, two at the beginning. I'm going to give you the one in the middle. He says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So by the way, the word "but" in there, that's actually in Greek, that's the word "and." These two thoughts are together. The Bible is calling us. We're told God doesn't want us to sin, but he wants us to know that if we do, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so these two things are held together. John is teaching us not that we have to be perfect, but he's teaching us about sanctification, how we can grow into all that God has for us. We're works in progress. We're being transformed. So let's dig into our passage. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So what's the connection between sin and lawlessness? Have you ever heard anybody say, if it's not against the law, it's not immoral? So it's not against the law, you know, I can do it. There were false teachers then and now who are legalists, who look at the external following of the law and can overlook those things that are going on in the heart. Jesus gives the example when he criticized the Pharisees. He says, they were the legalists that he was dealing with. You tithe the littlest spices, but you neglect justice and mercy, their attitudes of the heart. There were legalists in his time. Paul talks about the Judaizers. It's all about outward behavior. If it's not against the law, it's not sin. We have such people around today. But the thing is, that's not right. Sin begins with the attitudes of the heart. And then it works its way out. So what this is saying is that sin is lawlessness, whether you break a written law or not. It is yet lawlessness, because the laws are an expression of love for God and love for each other. So if that's not where we are in our hearts, we're guilty of lawlessness. So what's the connection between our sins and God? They're also, let's call them anti-legalists. The time of that John was writing this, there was a group called the Nicolaitans. He mentions them in the book of Revelations, written by the same man about the same time. And in the seven churches, the letters to the seven churches in Revelations, three of those churches are dealing with the Nicolaitans. They were anti-legalists who argued that because we're saved by grace, we don't have to worry about the moral law. Does that sound familiar? You know anybody like that? I'm under grace. I don't need to be concerned about my behavior because, you know, I've been forgiven. That's not right either, because in what this is saying, in him there is no sin. So God appeared not just to show us grace in forgiving our sins, but to show us grace in taking them away, so that we're not under that burden of sin anymore. Because as long as we continue to sin, we're missing the mark. We're missing all the grace and the joy that God has for us. So let's move along here. Did I go too far? No, here we go. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Okay, I just want to make sure we've got it all up there. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. What does it mean to practice, make a practice of sinning? So John has used the word sin up until this time. At this point, he's adding a word before sin, which is translated here, practice. And what he's doing is he's no longer talking about an individual sin, a slip up, but he's talking about repeated patterns or habits of behavior. So this is what it means by making a practice of sinning. Continuing on in those patterns or habits of behavior. There are some sinful habits, like addictions, that are more obvious than others. There are some habitual sins that are harder to identify. Gossip, slander, unrighteous talk are things that are, you know, they slip by us because they're harder to identify. Sinful attitudes can affect our relationships. Attitudes like pride, envy, jealousy, rivalry. There aren't laws particularly against these things, but they're sinful attitudes of the heart. There can be sinful habitual responses to certain circumstances, such as impatience, irritability, sullenness, resentment, contentiousness, anger, rage. The thing about these attitudes of the heart is they're the opposite of love. They hurt others. They also hurt us. When we give in to them, they steal our joy, they hinder our fellowship with God, and they hinder our relationships with other people. We're missing the mark. We're missing out on a whole lot that God has for us when we continue without dealing with these practices, the attitudes of the heart. Thing is, we're human. We have such patterns. And the problem is, without the Lord, we're stuck there. We're stuck in those patterns. Oh, moving along here, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. What happens? What changes when we're born of God? What happens is that God's seed abides in us. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said, when he promised the Holy Spirit, he said, "My Father and I will be in you." So the very seed of God is given to us. It's good news for us because we who lacked the power to break out of our sinful ways now have the power of God abiding in us, working to destroy those works of the devil, the habits, the addictions, the sinful practices that have hurt us and stolen our joy can now be broken. Back to the pictures. How does one practice righteousness? Remember, practice now. They are purposeful, repeated actions over time. And it can take a while to break habits because you're working to develop new habits, new patterns of relationship. We learned about this in the class that we had with Matt Myers. He talked about reforming our brain. Because as we start doing new things, different things, we form neural pathways. And you see this happening, the young lady learning the piano. After a while, she gets muscle memory and pathways in her brain which allow her to get better, to improve with playing the piano. So practice is improving. The young man swinging a bat, and a ball and a tee. He's teaching his muscles to do what they need to do. And with practice, he will learn how to do that better. It's the same way with practicing righteousness, practicing new habits. We learn, we get a memory in our brain that allows us to do that. Now, I also see examples here of mentoring. The driving education, the piano player in class, there's mentoring going on. There's teamwork. The football guys at practice, they're practicing teamwork. These are good practices as well, just the fellowship of believers, the teamwork that we have with each other helps us practice righteousness as we practice it together. Collaboration down here in the lower left corner, these are medical students that are practicing medicine on a dummy because you don't want to practice on a live person where you're just learning. I always enjoyed the phrase, practice medicine. Yeah, don't practice on me. they're collaborating. They're learning together, and learning together is a helpful thing. It helps us with our practice of righteousness. Expect mistakes. It takes time. Have faith. Remember that God is at work in you. He won't fail you. God knows your needs. He has individual plans for each of us. I can't write out a plan for all of you here. So this sermon will not be giving you a specific plan. But if you seek Him, He will guide you. And I've found in my life, He doesn't try to do it all at once. Take one thing and practice that and learn it and grow in that. And then you can move on to something else. Engage in fellowship with other believers. Talk, listen, walk in the light with each other is a way of practicing righteousness. And I would say this about... here's some things you can practice. The fruit of the Spirit. Think about how, where, when you can practice. For instance, practice love with people that you find it hard to love. You got people like that in your life? Practice love with those people. Think about it, meditate on it, and put it into practice. Practice joy when you're faced with trials. The Bible teaches us to do that. Practice joy, and soon you will be finding that you have the paths of joy in your heart that show up when you're going through trials. Practice peace when things are in turmoil around you. Practice being peaceful, calming down. Practice peace. Practice patience. That's one we all love to practice, isn't it? Practice goodness. Practice kindness. Practice faithfulness. These are things to practice in our lives. Now, I want to focus again on that young lady on the piano. I have really enjoyed seeing our young brother Oscar develop on the keyboards as a musician. He is gifted. You all can see that, right? He is a gifted musician. He's a gifted piano player. But you know what? He didn't know he was gifted until he started practicing. And as he practiced, the gift showed up. And what I want to say to all of you this morning, you are gifted in righteousness. You are gifted in that God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so just as Oscar, when he began to practice, he started getting good at it pretty quick because he was gifted. When you practice righteousness, you will get good at it. And some of you know this already, right? But as you practice righteousness, you will get good at it because you are gifted because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Move on here. We've got one last little segment here. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. So, what does practicing righteousness have to do with love? Pretty much everything. If you're practicing righteousness, you are practicing loving the people around you. If you are practicing love, you're practicing righteousness. All the law, all the prophets are summed up. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And make no mistake about it. You know, there are those like the Nicolaitans who are fairly loose about moral laws. They're not practicing love. They're hurting themselves, and they're hurting others around them. We get this coming and going as we practice righteousness. We grow in love as we understand that we are loved. We also begin to grow in righteousness. Just want to get my Bible again here. I thought Michael did a really good job last week talking on the verses that go right ahead of these. And I'm just going to read them again for you. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. God loves you. He loves us. He will help us as we pursue him. Amen.
Amen.
So we'll turn this over to Michael.